my dreams, my plans. This house I built on troubled sand. If I gained the world, it would never be.
The group is Unspoken. The song is Just Give Me Jesus.
Just give me Jesus.
Everything we've ever needed. Wow. I tell you what, that is a truth that is hard to grasp. Jesus, everything we've ever needed. Our all in all. Truth be told, he is not the woman's husband. And he's not the man's wife. He is not the adult's child. Believe me now, think about this. A lot of you might be saying, wait a minute now, hold up. How could he not be that husband or that wife? I mean, if he can be the husband, then he can be the wife too. Is he either? I say no. Not the way a human being who lives on this earth is a husband to a physical woman. And certainly I wouldn't want to call him a wife since he's a man. So how can he not be that spouse, that husband, that wife, and still be everything? That's what makes it so hard to grasp. All in all, he is our all in all. It's important to understand the context. Be aware of the context. Remember, way back in the day when there was only one man on the earth, whom we call Adam, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. The man had all those creatures, animals, swimming creatures, birds, had all of those creatures. But most importantly, the man had God. God and the man were talking with each other, walking with each other, communing with each other. Very close relationship. Go into the book of Luke, I think it is. And God is defined as Adam's father. So they had relationship. God was God to Adam. God was also father to Adam because God was responsible for his existence. And yet, God said, despite the fact that Adam could connect with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God said it is not good for the man to be alone. God determined that Adam was alone, despite the fact that God knew Adam had God in his life. So God did not consider himself everything to Adam in the way that we might think of everything. That's why it's so important to understand what people mean when they say that. And so God created from Adam the first woman, whom we call Eve, and made Eve Adam's wife. He presented her to him. The first wedding ceremony, and it was performed by God. Because it was not good, as God said, for Adam to be alone. So there's so much going on in our lives. Don't think that, you know, because you sometimes get a little frustrated because you're not married yet, that there's something wrong with you. It's important to learn to be okay being single, but don't think that something is wrong with you because you want to be married. That kind of companionship is important to a lot of people. But it's important to learn how to allow much of our fulfillment to come from a beautiful relationship with our Creator. He's the one who is ultimately responsible behind our sense of fulfillment. Even if we're playing an instrument professionally and doing well, enjoying playing, being given a decent, we're earning a decent income, God is the one who has given us the ability to play well. God can give us favor with our spouses so that our spouses care about us, spouses care about each other. God is the one who created what we call marriage and told us what it takes to make the marriages beautiful. So when we play the marriage game when we work with marriage according to God's rules, according to the rules of the one who created it, when both partners work marriage the way God said we're supposed to work it, it's beautiful and fulfilling. And so that fulfilling marriage comes from God. He makes life fulfilling for us, whether we're single or married. And whatever our vocation, we find out, we discover what gifts or special abilities He's given us so that we can pursue the vocation that is right for us, that is the right fit for us. That fulfillment comes from the God who gave us the ability to do what we do that we find so rewarding. That's how it works. All right, so that said, let me share with you some information shared with us courtesy of the Metro Courier, an incident, because I'm going to share a couple of incidents with you, but this one having to do with the beauty of harmony, the beauty of people coming together across ethnic lines to push for, to fight for what's right. As we know, we had the Unite the Right protests in Charlottesville, Virginia, where one of the races ended up driving through the crowd of protesters who were protesting their hatred, and in the process killed one of the ladies, Heather Heyer. They wanted to have another rally after that. Can you imagine that? All that hatred motivating them to keep spewing out their hatred. Of course, as we know, we have a president who has let them know he's with them. And they consider him one of their own. And so they're emboldened like they have not been in years and years. And so they want to rally for their cause. One of those took place last August, and it was a white nationalist rally, which was expected to last 2 hours. The report says that it had finished before it was even scheduled to begin. There was a heavy rainstorm. The event organizer was expecting about 400 people to attend. But photos of the rally suggest that the crowd was probably only about 40. He was expecting 400, and the photos suggest that roughly 40 people showed up to push for white right, to proclaim the call for white nationalism. Then on the other hand, that's the one side of that coin I was telling you about. The people with hearts filled with hatred, making sure that America is aware of the fact that their hearts are filled with hatred. On the other side of that coin were the many, many people who showed up to protest that hatred and to counter that rally. And they greatly outnumbered the hate mongers. They showed up in the thousands, and many of those protesters were white, making it very clear that not only do they not agree with that madness, but making it clear that they also strongly disapprove of it. And this is it. This is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I truly take my hat off to the many people who decide that they're not going to just stand by and silently allow the dark drama to go unanswered. Who is ultimately behind, or what is ultimately behind all of this dark drama, the dark drama of hatred, unprovoked hatred? Certainly is not our Creator. The Creator is not responsible for it. Who is ultimately behind it? Who are the people who push hatred, who propagate hatred, who promote hatred following? Is it a human being? Is a human being ultimately behind it? When we come back, I want to take a look from a different angle at a situation we're in. Something happened across race lines that was very, very ugly, but some beauty came out of it. Stay with me.